we transition to the message, this portion. Number one, whoever decided to not ask me to carry a flag, really smart. Two thumbs up, really smart, really smart. Number two, yes, please pray for Emily on her trip, but please also pray for those kids. There are four kids that need to survive this. Now, I'm pretty confident that Trevor knows how to do steaks, burgers, and hot dogs. I'm pretty sure of that. But if any of you ladies or whoever, if you're thinking and wondering what's going on, feel free to bring a meal to them so that they can, so that they survive this time away, okay? Trevor knows nothing about this. I'm saying it, because I think it's true. You know, he can do steaks and burgers, but probably the other is, you know, veggies. That's beyond every man that I know anyway. Anyway, enough said. And I forget what the third one was. Oh, the third one. What does this mean? It means we have no clue when we're going to end today. This is island time. It means I have no clue. We have so many beautiful moving parts in this morning's service. We had the flags. We had our guest speaker come. We have other guests. We have a video to come. So it's island time this morning. I have no idea when we're going to end, okay? I have no clue. But I promise it'll be before 2 o'clock, okay? Now, I spent a summer in Argentina, and that would be a sincere statement. Every time I went to church there, it was like a four-hour event. It was a wonderful, beautiful event, but it was about 4 hours long. I promise we'll be done before then. So we're going to focus on, the missions committee asked me to focus on a message that is mission-oriented, and I'm delighted to do that. So we're going to focus on the command that we have to preach this gospel to the whole world, because the whole world needs the gospel. But before we go there, just so you know, those who are visiting Buckhannon Lions Church, our primary existence, what we want to be doing every day is walking in intimacy with God. And what we mean by that is in John, and usually I use different passages, the second passage, 1 John 5, 11 and 12, and this is a memory verse for one of our small group people. So memory verse for small group people. In the small group on Wednesday night that meets here at the church. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. So when does eternal life begin? He has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. When I was growing up, eternal life began when you died. That's what I understood. That is not true. That is not true. That is not true. Eternal life begins the moment we pray to receive Jesus Christ. And then John goes on to say, he who has the Son has life, has it now. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Eternal life begins here and now, the moment that we pray to receive Jesus Christ. And so what are we about at Buckhannon Lions Church? We want to walk in intimacy with God moment by moment and simply invite others to do the same. I have no idea how people make it without the Lord. I'll be the first one to admit, I'm a wimp. I love knowing God. I love having eternal life in my life now. I don't know how people can make it without Him. Okay, here we go. Now into the meat of the message. And I cheated because I marked my Bible already. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 24. So I won this sword drill. You all remember sword drills? Man, I won this one already, but I cheated, of course. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24. And if you need spectacles like I do, grab your spectacles as well. And here's the primary verse that we're going to look at is this verse, but we're going to back up. The primary verse is this, and the gospel of this kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. But here's what I want to do. Turn with me in your Bibles, and I'm going to start at the beginning of verse 24 to give some context to what this statement is. See, the gospel is going to be preached to the end. A.B. Simpson, the founder of our movement, the Christian Missionary Alliance, he was born back in the 1800s. He was born in Canada. He came to the United States. I think he did because he was a go-getter. Let's get her done. And this whole message about getting it done, getting her done, is linked to A.B. Simpson. I think he was the first theologian that actually put in writing, hey, if we get busy, if we get the gospel to the ends of the earth, we can hasten the Lord's return. We can see Jesus come back sooner if we get our acts together. So let's get our acts together. I mean, that's basically, you know, that's my reverse revised version, but that's the essence of what he said. And he was one of the first theologians, that, to my knowledge, that said that, that put the link between getting the gospel out to the ends of the earth so that Jesus would come, because that's what that passage says. When does the end come? After the gospel is preached to all peoples. Maybe not every single person, but to every single people group. And we know that there's thousands of people groups that have never heard. And the CNMA is committed to sending the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the least reached and unreached people groups. We redeploy people. Like, I was pre-assigned to Argentina. I was a washout missionary. Didn't make it. Never made it. I made it to West Virginia. This is a mission field. Amen? So, I was pre-assigned to Argentina. We don't have any international workers in Argentina anymore because that country became so reached to a point that we believe we could turn it over to the national church and we would redeploy our international workers to other places, to least reached and unreached people groups, because we're about getting the good news out everywhere, here, there, and everywhere. So turn in your Bibles, all that's introduction. Now we're going to get into the meat of the word. So Matthew 24. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Now, if you've never been to Israel, the temple's no longer there, but the temple was the biggest, coolest thing. I mean, it is massive. You know, you can see the foundation stones on the Western Wall are still there. They are huge. I don't even know how they built it. It was so big. It's kind of like the pyramids. You know, the temple, first of all, Jerusalem is on a mount. For some history, remember Abraham was commanded to offer his son Isaac. He went up onto the mountain. It's believed, many scholars believe that that was actually Jerusalem where he took him. That the Temple Mount is where Abraham went way back then, and then they were commanded to build the temple there on Jerusalem. It's like seven mounds. It's a city on a hill. And the temple was the highest place on that, in that city, if you've ever been there. But it's an amazing thing to see. So the disciples are like ooey gooey, you know. They're like, oh, look at this beautiful building. Jesus, what do you think? And then Jesus tells them the rest here. So they're trying to get Jesus. They're kind of bragging on their buildings. Do you see all these things? He asks, I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Ouch. So here's the center of their worship. The temple is their center of all the worship for Israel. And Jesus saying, hey, not one stone is going to be left upon another. And we actually know that that happened in AD 70. The temple was destroyed in AD 70. That already happened. But Jesus goes on and he tells more. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So when is this temple going to be destroyed? And what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I'm the Christ. Has that happened over the years? Yeah, there's all kinds. There's all kinds. Even in Jesus' day, there were many people claiming to be the Messiah. There's going to be all kinds of false prophets. But listen to what Jesus says. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. I have some extended family members that go crazy. This week they want to send me this video telling me how the end is near. I believe it's near, but I'm not sure what that means. It's been near for 2,000 years, okay? Jesus telling us, wars, rumors of wars, there's going to be all kinds of stuff. There's always wars and rumors of war. We don't understand that since World War II, the world has basically been at peace for the most part. You look at over history, and the norm is war. We've just experienced this time of peace relative. The normal is war, and Jesus said, way back then, to his disciples, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but don't get alarmed. That's norm. And then he goes on to say, such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Now, I never experienced birth pains, but I was there for watching it. Jen did not want to come out. Sorry, Jen. My daughter, Jennifer. It was Friday night. It was 5 o'clock. Lynette's water broke. And she had 5-minute contractions between then, Friday night at 5 o'clock. Jen didn't come out till Sunday at 11 a.m. Never more than 5 minutes apart. Oh my goodness, Lynette and I were falling asleep between the contractions because we bought into the lie of Lamaze. I apologize for anyone here. By the way, you're going to see a video, a PowerPoint slide at the end of all of this. Does anyone remember Click and Clack, the TV show? I loved it. I used to have to drive all over the place, and I Click and Clack when I listened to them. They were so much fun. And they would say, stump the chumps. Okay? So from now on, every Sunday that I'm preaching, I'm going to wait up here. And if you have a question about anything that I have communicated or said, come up here and stump the chump. I'm the chump. Okay? On Sunday nights, we have prayer meeting. We spend half an hour more praying and then half an hour of Q&A. But I'm saying on Sunday morning, while it's fresh in your minds, if you think that I've said something that's really crazy off the wall, by the way, did Jesus ever say crazy stuff off the wall? Sure did. Come. Stump the chump, okay? Every Sunday that I preach, I'll be right up here or somewhere up here in the front, and I'll be here for a while. So if you have questions, just come and ask. Come and ask. Okay, is that fair? Okay, so here's Jesus. He continues on. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. My goodness, Friday night, 5 o'clock, the baby didn't come until Sunday. Birth, but not Braxton Hicks or whatever they're called. Forget that. These were 5 minutes apart, life and death from my perspective, okay? Then you'll be handed over and persecuted, put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. We can see that beginning to happen, can't we? I mean, there's persecutions going on all over the place. We're living in relative peace, but all over the world, there's all kinds of persecutions that are going on. It's happening. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Because of the increase of wickedness, man, there's none of that going on, is there? Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Is that happening? Brothers and sisters, I ask God every day to rekindle the love inside me, to love him more and more with each passing day. Amen? Our love needs to burn strong. People need to look at us and see Christ in us, the hope of glory, and be drawn to Jesus. The love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. It's not all these other things. These other things are going to happen. They're going to happen. When the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, then the end will come. And A.B. Simpson landed on that and camped on that, and the Christian Missionary Alliance has stayed on that because we want to get the gospel out here, there, and everywhere. That's what we're all about. We want people to have an intimate walk with Jesus Christ. We want all people to. At least the opportunity to pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. That's what we want. That's what we're about. That's what this Sunday is clearly about. And our missions conference. Our international workers are going to come and share with us what's happening, hopefully to stoke the fire of our love and our excitement so that we go into our world with the good news of Jesus Christ, knowing. Have you ever sat and looked at people, whether you're Walmart or whatever, and you wonder, gee, I wonder who's going to heaven and who's not? I do it regularly. Gee, I wonder who's born again here. I wonder how many of these people are entering into a Christless eternity. And I know we don't use HE double hockey sticks, and you guys have made fun of me and said I've said that enough, because as a kid, we weren't even allowed to say the word hell. I'm telling you, people are going to enter into hell because they have rejected the name of Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. You can't pick and choose. It's what the Scripture says. God sent His only Son that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the everlasting life begins here and now. It's not the afterlife. It's here and it's there. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And our founder kind of put that together. Okay, just some spiritual truths. These guys are helping me out this morning advancing the slides because they realize I can't walk in, chew bubble gum at the same time. Can you guys go to the next one? Maybe it's stuck. Okay, some spiritual truths. We could spend a week of Sundays on this. We're just going to hone in on a couple. So first one, the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what the word gospel means. It means good news, great news, the best news ever, a good story, the best story ever told. And the story is about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it needs to be preached to the whole world. We need to preach the gospel to the whole world. And then what this passage says is then. Can everyone see this? Is this big enough? And by the way, if it's blue and underlined, and in that font, it means that there's a blank in the sermon notes if you want to follow sermon notes. And by the way, you look at sermon notes are really short this week. That has nothing to do with the length of the sermon. Got nothing to do with it. It's kind of like if I took my watch off right now and set it here, that would mean absolutely nothing. If a pastor says, in conclusion, that means nothing. That means nothing. So then, after the gospel is preached, then the end will come. Then Christ will return. But not until all peoples have had an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's why in the CNMA, and there are many other faith tribes out there, they're going to where people don't have hardly any of the least reached and unreached people groups. There's so many people groups around the world now that there are no Christian witnesses. It reminds me of Israel. I remember my first trip to Israel. Now I'm going on a side trip here. I got on the bus. We landed at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, got on the bus, drove for hours, and I never saw a single light. There were no lights. Can you drive anywhere in Western PA and not see lights? As long as there's not a power outage. In the morning, after I got up, I looked out and there was nothingness for miles and miles. And then you'd have a city. Nothingness for miles and miles. And then you have a city. Well, that's kind of like there's some people in the world, you know, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a church in Buckhannon, PA. I mean, Buckhannon, West Virginia. Amen? But there are some places where you can't find a believer. Forget church. You can't even find a believer. There's none around. So even though you might have a dream or a vision, because that's happening all around the world, God's giving people dreams and visions of Jesus, there's no one to tell them who He is. There's no one. And the CNMA and others are committed to, let's get the word out. And so why is this important? Here's why it's so important. Because we know how the story ends. Do we know how the story ends? How many of you will not tape a football game because you don't want to ruin it? Or whatever game. Folks, we know how the story ends. Jesus wins, and so do we. We're His bride. We know how the story ends. That's why it's so important for us to get the good news out, because we know how the story ends. It's not a mystery. We know how it ends. Satan gets his butt kicked and thrown into the eternal lake of fire for all time. And we win. Sorry, ladies, I spit when I get excited. I'm telling you, we win. And the world doesn't know that. The world is trapped. They're following all kinds of things, hoping that it might be the answer, and it's not the answer. Why is it so important? Because we know how the story ends. Jesus is the Son of God. He died in our place so that we could live with Him forever. Amen. That's why it's so important. And when I look around Walmart and wonder how many of these people know Jesus and who don't, it breaks my heart. I don't like being friendly, okay? I just don't. It's not me. I'm not an outgoing, you know, I am not the social butterfly. Any amens on that, rascal? But I will smile and I'll walk around because I want people, if they don't know Jesus, I'm hoping they're seeing Christ in me. and that they're willing to be a friend of mine, that I can tell them about Jesus because I know how the story ends. And then I know that people need the Lord. I know most people do not know Jesus. Statistically speaking, at least half of the people that you meet do not know Jesus. They just don't know him. People need the Lord. I think there's a song to that. We're not going to sing it. I'm not going to hum it. I'm not going to do anything. Yesterday they had games about music, and they wanted me to get up there right. Music is organized noise to me. That's what it is to me. And I'm glad I don't offend our worship leader in that. I am clueless when it comes to any of that stuff. But people need the Lord. I know I went down a rabbit trail there. We're right back. People need the Lord. People have got to have Jesus. That's what the Bible says. If you've got no Jesus, you've got no eternal life. He who has the Son has life. Who does not have the Son of God does not have life. There's eternal separation from him. It's so important. And now let's see where Jesus goes from here. Matthew 24, and I'm going to cheat again. See, I have it marked in my Bible. And I need to put my glasses on again. Let's look at 36. 36 and on. So we're going to jump down to verse 36. Jesus is preaching all of this and teaching all this. And this is just so important. In verse 36, Jesus says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son." Jesus didn't know when the end time was going to be. Jesus is fully God, fully man. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus himself is saying there's one being that knows the day and the hour. So, you know, every once in a while I see a car driving around and it says Jesus is returning on this date. Don't believe that. There's only one being in all the universe that knows when the end is going to happen. It's God the Father. That's what Jesus says. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, speaking of himself, but only the Father. As it was, and then he gives us illustrations. Next slide. Only the Father knows when the end is going to come. And now the next slide. He gives us three examples. For in the days of the flood, Noah, he first uses Noah. It will be as in the day of Noah. Now, Noah's there. I mean, I wasn't allowed to listen to Noah and Zupa. Anyone know what I'm talking about? I was not permitted. What's the comedian's name? He's in deep weeds right now. Bill Cosby. He had this thing, and he would, Noah's Ark, Zupa. And then he made fun. You know, he was saying, you know, Lord said, "No, why don't you build an ark?" What's an ark? You know, and my parents would not allow me to listen to that because it's sacrilegious. So I'd sneak over to my uncle's house and listen to it there. So here we are, the days of Noah. Noah was building this ark in preparation for this flood that was coming. Was the flood coming? Yes! He was building the ark and people were just making fun of him. Do people make fun of us? Yes. Suck it up. So what? Do we know the truth? We know the truth. Not to hit people over the head with a big Bible, but they should see Christ in us. They should see us loving them, reaching out to them, doing acts of kindness, not just to people like us, but to others. Acts of kindness so that they see Christ in us oozing out of us. And they got to say, something's different about you. What's different about you? And then we can say it's Jesus. Well, in Moses' day and Noah's day, I always would get those two confused. You ever confuse Moses and Noah? I did all the time. Anyway, Noah, he's building this ark because he's saying, hey, repent. Judgment is coming. God's going to flood the earth. What's a flood? God's going to do a new thing. Noah's there saying for like a 100 years he's building this thing and telling people, but are they listening? No, they just go about their own business. Just like they ignored the truth then, so when the Lord comes back, people are going to be ignoring the truth. And then the next example, because time is of the essence here, and I know that, see, I only have one preaching class, and one of the things I learned in that was you can only endure in one end what you can take in the other end. Now you know who you invited to be your pastor. So, the next example that Jesus gives is a homeowner. If you know that your house is going to be broken into, you're going to be prepared for it? Please don't break in my house, because I'm telling you, we've got an arsenal there, okay? There's an arsenal in my home. We could start a war, okay? And I was raised John Wayne in good, clean violence. I'm warning everyone. I tell the kids, if you're coming in late, call me and let me know. Okay, so if the homeowner knew when the thief was going to come, he'd prepare. If everyone knew when Jesus was going to return, they would prepare. But we don't know. So let's live prepared lives. This week, one of my extended family, they wanted me to watch this video and all this stuff about the Lord coming and this. And I just said this, look, I respectfully tell you, if I'm living for Him moment by moment, I don't care when He returns. I'm telling you, that's my logic. I hope He returns when I'm preaching. I hope I die when I'm preaching. Man, what could be better than that? In the pulpit and boom, or I'm witnessing to someone, leading someone to the Lord, and then He returns in that moment. How cool would that be? Or you have a massive heart attack while you're witnessing and they just pray to receive Christ. I'm for it. Talk about a stream unction. Never mind. Okay, so the last one reminds me growing up, because my dad would give me chores to do. And he'd say, okay, son, I'm going to be away for a few days. Do X, Y, Z before I return. Of course, I got right on it, right? So it looks like you guys are like me. You'd postpone, and at the last hour, you would rush around and get everything done. The wise steward, the wise servant does not do that. The wise person, this is like college. You know, that's part of what's wrong with our whole educational system. You take all these notes and things, and you ignore and you goof off. And then right before the final, you cram. And then you regurgitate what you crammed. But 2 weeks later, do you remember anything? No. Hence, that's why my Greek professor looked right at me and said, repetition penetrates the dullest of minds. See, when you study, then the exam isn't that big of a deal, because you've already hidden it in your heart. See, the wise servant, he starts getting everything ready as soon as the master says. And here's what the master said. Go and make disciples. Of all peoples, go and make disciples. That's our assignment. And if the wise servant knew when his master was coming back, he would prepare. But since we don't know when, let's just get her done. Are you with me? Let's get her done. And next slide. This is not biblical. This is Jeff. So if you have a question about this, you come and see me afterward. Stump the chump. Here's a great opportunity. One of my general principles that I live by is begin with the end in mind. This comes out of Stephen Covey and his work. Begin with the end in mind. If I know that's going to happen, then I start over here and I back up. Well, then that needs to be done, that, all the way to right here. Okay, here's my first step in the completion of it. Begin with the end in mind. Ecclesiastes, I love Solomon. The end of Ecclesiastes says, and here's the conclusion of everything. Ooh, here's the end in mind. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's what Solomon says. He should have listened to his own words. Stop listening to your wives and listen to the Word, you chucklehead. He should have listened to his own advice. He began with the end in mind and then worked backwards. So one of my general principles, begin with the end in mind. And now next slide, I'm going to confess here. When the Lord returns, I desperately want to hear, attaboy, attagirl. Because Scripture says to some people, they're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. Let me tell you, I would rather burn out than rust out any day of the week. And I know, I said I'm trying to take a Sabbath. I am trying to take a Sabbath. But I'm telling you, I would rather burn out than rust out. I know that's not wise, but that is who I am. I want to hear, and there's a selfishness to this, but the selfishness hopefully is overcome by the love. I love him so much that I want him to know that he's done such a good job, that I'm doing this in response to his love. Just think about this. Think about your professors. I had some really good professors. I had some really stinky ones. And you guys have bad teachers? Come on. I've had so many teachers, because Lynette said I was a professional student, and she's probably right about that. I've had so many teachers that did not have the gift, and then I had a few teachers that had the gift of teaching. And you wanted to do so well so that they would know that they were a great teacher. You would go the extra mile. I know I did. Even for that professor who told me repetition penetrates the dullest of minds, I wanted to please him because he was a very good professor. He shot straight. Anyone that walks right up to you and says repetition penetrates the dullest of minds, he's a straight shooter, let me tell you. Mr. Collier, I still call him once a month. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I was thinking about this thing. Can we talk about it? Some point of theology. Jeff. Get your Bible open. Let's look at the text. I love it. But I wanted to do well so that he knew what a great teacher he was. And how much more do I want to please the Lord? It was only a few years ago. Romans tells us that literally we can please the Lord. Did you know that? I grew up thinking you couldn't please him. I grew up thinking he was a cosmic killjoy. I grew up thinking that all you never tell God never, because he'd rub your nose in it. Because all these little old ladies would come up. I told God when I was a youngster, I'll never be a missionary. And they're a missionary. I'll never be a pastor's wife. And they're a pastor's wife. So it wouldn't take long. I connected the dots. God must be a cosmic killjoy. He is not. He is not. He is not. He wants to give you the abundant life, the best life. He's the one that formed and created you. He knows what's best for you. And my heart's desire is, I want to please him, and I want to hear attaboy. Well done. Anyone else here want that? Please, I hope you do. I know that you do. I know that you do. So, how about you? What's your motive? Now I want us to look at Acts 1:8, and I know this one by memory. So, and next slide. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, the next slide is an added one. It's not in your notes. I am committing the naturalistic fallacy here. And please ignore that big term if you don't like it. Here's what I'm doing. I'm switching from historical narrative to spiritual. Acts 1:8 talks about, but you will see power. Jesus is talking to his disciples. You will be my disciple. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, then in Judea, in all Judea, then Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. He was literally describing what was going to happen, and it's what happened. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That literally, it's historical narrative. I am switching gears to a spiritual. Everyone with me? I am switching gears. I am making a huge assumption here. I'm making the assumption that each of us has a Jerusalem, that each of us has a Judea, that each of us has a Samaria, that each of us has an ends of the earth. I'm moving from historical narrative to a spiritual principle. I could be wrong. I should have brought my t-shirt. It says, I could be wrong, but highly unlikely. And I don't mean that arrogantly. I mean with all my heart, I believe this is true. I believe that we have a Jerusalem. We have a Judea that's larger. We have a Samaria, and we have the ends of the earth. And so next slide. Your Jerusalem. Who are the people who are like you and in your sphere of influence? By like you, similar to you. That's what I'm defining Jerusalem as. Who are the people in your life that are kind of like you and they're in your sphere of influence? That's your Jerusalem. Next slide. Who do you know in your Jerusalem that needs Jesus. That's the place to start. Are you with me? Have you made the leap? Who's in your Jerusalem? See, there's people that you meet that I never will meet. Those people are in your Jerusalem. They're your Jerusalem. I have a Jerusalem. The guy that comes and fixes my furnace, I don't know if he'll ever go to your house and fix your furnace, but he comes and fixes my furnace. He's a part of my Jerusalem. He says, I'm different. He likes talking to me. The boys, I don't know. But when I make an appointment, I plan out 2 hours. I set it aside that I will give him complete, all of my attention, and I'll offer to take him to whatever meal we're closest to. Hey, how about coming early? I'll buy you lunch. How about dinner? I'll pay for your dinner. Because I want to be in his world. I want him to see Jesus in me and him be drawn to Jesus. He's in my Jerusalem. Every one of us here have a Jerusalem. I don't care if you never leave your house, but you do because you came here. Where do you get your groceries? Where do you get gas? I used to buy gas at one station because I prayed, and Lord, who do you want me to befriend? And it was an attendant there. It was pump your own gas, but it was an attendant. So every time I went, I would not pay at the pump. I would go up to the thing so that I would have interaction with that person. Intentionally, because God laid them on my heart. They're part of my Jerusalem now. Buying groceries, I'll go to a mom and pop. I even one time the Lord told me, there was a mechanic, high prices, all this money. Lord told me, you need to befriend him. I don't have money to befriend him. I told Lynette, honey, I'm going to go have my oil changed. What do you mean you're going to have it changed? You're a mechanic. Well, the Lord laid on my heart that I need to befriend this person. She said, okay, go for it. I walked in the place. Lord, I walked in the place. I said, hi, how you doing? And he just broke down and told me his wife had cancer, all this stuff going on. Yeah, the sign said no customers in. Hey, do you mind if I talk a little bit? I really want to hear more of your story. Became a friend. Never did pray to receive Christ, but became a friend. And I believe I was sent to him with a message. He was in my Jerusalem now for Christ, for him to see Christ in me. And yeah, he charged way too much, and I'd give him a tip on top of it. What's a little money? Unless you ain't got none, I understand. But I'm telling you, those little things speak volumes to people. Who is in your Jerusalem that needs Jesus? It's that simple. Judea, people like you, but not in your direct sphere of influence. Judea was like the county. So Jerusalem is Buchanan and then Upshur County, right? It still amazes me. No one says they're from Buchanan. They say, I'm from Upshur County or whatever county. So Judea are people like us, but not in our direct sphere of influence. They're just one step beyond. And one of the beautiful moving parts of this service is we have two young ladies here that they live in our Judea. We have two young adults, Kristen and Savannah. Now, I put their names up there because you know how good I am with names. And I'm not even trying for last names. We have Kristen and Savannah. Next slide. They serve with InterVarsity at West Virginia Wesleyan College. We all know where that is, right? So I don't have any influence there. I have no sphere of influence. That's kind of my Judea, I think. And we have two people here that have been called of God to go there and minister there. So would you guys please come up? And I've asked them to take a couple minutes and share. You can stay down there. You can stand up here, whatever you like.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us this morning. So I am Savannah Aldridge, and this is my partner, Kristen Rexroad, and we work with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at West Virginia Wesleyan College, and we're actually helping plant at Davis and Elkins College down in Elkins. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about what's happening at InterVarsity and how we are reaching the ends of the earth by reaching like different nooks and corners of those ends of the earth, like the college campuses. So InterVarsity, we want to see students and faculty transformed for the Lord. We want to see campuses renewed for the Lord, and we want to see world changers developed and going out into more spheres of the world. And so that's even just a small part of something that we're praying for. It's part of what we are calling the 2030 calling to see an active campus ministry on every college campus in the U.S. by 2030. Because what would the world look like? What would West Virginia look like for every student to have the opportunity to hear the gospel on their campus and have the training to be able to go out and share with their friends, with their family, with their colleagues, and everybody else in their sphere of influence? So there's five core things, too, that make up our ministry. So there's Bible studies. Students are getting to read the Word of God. They're getting to study it, sometimes for the first time. There's evangelism. We're teaching students how to share the gospel with their friends and also how to build relationships with their friends intentionally to be able to share God's word with them. Discipleship. Almost had it there. Discipleship. So we want students to also grow in their faith. We want them to learn what it means to follow God fully in college and for the rest of their life. Multi-ethnicity. We want people from every nation, tribe, and tongue to hear the gospel in every corner of our campus. And in a way that also means, evangelism. Yeah, no, and that also means that we're going to have students who are athletes be able to be reached by other athletes. We want students who are in Greek ministry to be reached by other Greeks, because we want all these places on campus to have the opportunity to hear about God's love. And missions, we want students, very much in line with everything we heard today, we want them to go out. We want them to go out into their fields where God has called them. We want to go out to the ends of the earth. We want them to go out to other campuses all over West Virginia and all over our country to be able to share God's love with those around them. Let me share some stories.
I have my notes on my phone so that I remember everything I want to say. So I'll share a little bit about some of how that looks at Wesleyan in particular. We've been at Wesleyan for the last semester and this semester, and we've just seen God do so many cool things. And a lot of that is thanks to you guys and your prayers and your support. A lot of you have even come and like volunteered on campus. Like, we thank you so much for that. Our ministry at Wesleyan is pretty varied. Like Savannah mentioned, there's a lot of like focus or niche groups that we want to serve that are often unreached. Greek ministry is a huge part of that. We've had Bible studies in four different sororities. Some of them have sort of died out over the years, but this semester we have Bible studies in three sororities, potentially four, and we've even gotten to speak with members of fraternities on campus that are interested in starting Bible studies as well. And we also just have student leaders that are feeling led to reach freshman girl groups or international students. I love working with international students because God also brings the nations to us through international students. So we have some specific groups that we work with. And this semester, we've been really just trying to connect with more people. So even in the last week, as school has started at Wesleyan, Savannah and I spent a lot of time doing outreach. So that looked like sometimes just sharing the gospel with students as we met them on campus. And we also got a little bit creative. One of the highlights this past week was snow painting. So we took food coloring and water and just mixed them in spray bottles, brought them to campus, and when you like spray it on the snow, it just adds color. So we made a big community art project in the snow on Tuesday and just invited students to come join us, add to the project, and then engage them in conversation about how they've experienced community on campus, if they've ever experienced Christian community before, and what that experience was like. And God just blessed us with bringing us a lot of people who unfortunately had bad experiences with church, that had interacted with Christians that didn't always love them the way that Christ calls us to. And so that gave us the opportunity to speak into that, to share that that's not what God intends, that God loves them, that God wants better for them, and to share what good, healthy, welcoming Christian community can look like. And I don't think there was a single student that stopped and talked to us that didn't end our conversation by just thanking us for what we were doing and telling us how much it meant to them. It gave us the chance to just pray with students, and a lot of them are hoping to stay in contact with us, so we're still meeting with some of these students that we met, hoping to continue to build relationship and to continue to share the gospel with them. Yes, so a couple things to be praying for at Wesleyan are these individual ministries. Be praying for these groups that we're really hoping to reach, particularly international students and Greek students. And also just be praying for Savannah and I as we kind of figure out how to lead this, as we're still kind of in the transition stage of this being our first year working with InterVarsity.
And again, thank you so, so much for your prayers, for your support, and your love as we go out to our Judea at West Virginia Wesleyan College and Davis and Elkins College. So thank you.
Our two sisters are raising their own support, so I've asked them, I've invited them for coffee and conversation afterward, that if you have questions for them, how can you be praying specifically or how you can support them, please do that. Also, Matt and Jessica Bowman, Matt, if you could stand up, they have started a parachurch ministry, which is a ministry to come alongside the church to assist the church. It's called Restoring Hope. I think most of us here know about it. It's a parachurch ministry just like InterVarsity, and they're raising their own support and too. So what I'd like us to do right now is pray over Matt and our two sisters and asking God simply to bless them and use them in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So could you two just stand? And then if you want to join me in prayer, just raise your right hand toward Matt or these two sisters, and let's pray for them. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for raising up our sisters, Matt and Jessica, in InterVarsity and Restoring Hope. We just ask that you would continue to bless them. Father, I ask that you would also raise up others from us to come alongside them to assist them and to support them in prayer and financially, if you would so lead toward that end. Father, they've stepped out in faith, believing that you've called them to this ministry. They've stepped out in faith, trusting you for the finances, for the support, for the prayer support. And we just ask that you would bless them. Continue to bless them with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Continue to so fill them with yourself that others would see Christ in them, the hope of glory, and be drawn to Jesus in them. And the things I don't know how to ask or what to ask. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are interceding with groanings that cannot be uttered, so that perfect prayers are arising to you, Abba Father. We boldly and confidently pray these things, and we pray them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. And all in agreement said, amen. Amen. Blessings upon you. Thank you so much. So you're Samaria, typically people not like you, yet in your sphere of influence. Who are the Samaritans? In Jesus' day, the Samaritans, they were considered outcasts, and Jewish people would not even talk to them. So who are the people that might be in, live near you, but you have no clue about? And that's most people for me, because believe it or not, I'm more of an introvert than I am an extrovert. And so who's in our Samaria? Jesus said that we're to go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then finally, ends of the earth. Ends of the earth are everywhere, every tribe, nation, tongue, as our sister said. Scripture says that in heaven, it's going to be every tribe, nation, and tongue is going to be praising him around the throne. How cool is that? And we have a part of that. And the CNMA, see, typically in an Alliance church, I've been in so many Alliance churches that wouldn't walk across the street to witness to someone, but they'll send finances through the Gate Commission Fund to reach people. That's the typical Alliance church. I don't want to be the typical Alliance church. I want us to be reaching people here in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Not one or the other, but all of them together, simultaneously. Now, in Jesus' day, they started in Jerusalem, then they expanded to Judea, then Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. I'm saying, I'm spiritual, I'm making it spiritual. I've told you, I'm not trying to trick you. I'm committing a fallacy in logic because I'm stepping across from a factual statement of history and making spiritual application. I believe we should be doing all of that at the same time. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, all at the same time. 2,000 years later, we should be doing all of it at the same time. Most Alliance churches that I would go in, I'm running out of time here. I go to most Alliance churches and say, what's the Great Commission? And you know what they would tell me? Go. That's the Great Commission. Go. No, no, no. As you live life, make disciples. The one command in Matthew 28, 16 through 20 is to make disciples. It's not even make converts. It's not just make a convert. Get someone to pray to receive Jesus Christ and then leave. No, it's make disciples who are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then you teach them to obey all that Jesus commanded. That's making disciples, all of it. All of it. Not just getting someone to say a prayer. It's all of it. In our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And now we've got a video that's going to talk a little bit about the CNMA and how we do that to the ends of the earth, especially how we finance that. If we can have the video.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Matthew 28, 18 to 20. God has empowered the Alliance family to do His work on earth. We share the love of Jesus with people we meet every day, and we plant churches. We are living the call together by praying, giving, going, and sending. Our missionaries do not raise their own support. They depend on God to supply their needs through the selfless giving of the Alliance family of churches. By combining the financial gifts of ordinary people, the Great Commission Fund supports God-empowered workers and ministries in multiplying communities of Christ throughout the world. Great Commission Fund gifts support a team of more than 850 dedicated missionaries and workers serving God in nearly 60 countries, assist with community outreaches that demonstrate God's love for the whole person, supply grants for U.S. church plants that are committed to taking the love of Christ to lost communities. When we give to the Great Commission Fund, we have a vital part in living the call together. Workers are sent, people are saved, leaders are trained, and churches are established. As a result of GCF giving, every 2 minutes someone prays to receive Christ through the worldwide outreach of Alliance Ministries. Every hour, three people, many of them ravaged by AIDS, receive physical and spiritual care through CNMA medical work. Every day, 45 radio broadcasts from Africa to Asia proclaim the good news. Every week, nearly 2,400 believers are baptized. Every month, 250 churches and church groups are established within the worldwide Alliance family. Every year, nearly 10,000 students are trained and equipped for ministry in 120 Alliance theological schools overseas. Because of our Great Commission Fund gifts, a vibrant church has been established in Baghdad, and a second one is being planted. A team of workers is ministering in Central Asia in an area where less than one person in 1,000 knows Jesus. 2 years ago, a church plant in California received a startup grant from the Great Commission Fund. Today, this community of Christ averages more than 1,000 in attendance and has launched 4 churches. Alliance workers in Cambodia are rescuing Vietnamese girls from being sold into prostitution and are sharing the Savior's love with them. Our U.S. intercultural churches are modeling full circle missions by sending missionaries to witness among their own people overseas. 90 ordinary workers, empowered by an extraordinary God, have counted the cost and are risking their lives for the sake of Christ in countries where traditional missionaries cannot go. Are you committed to pray for those who are taking the gospel to those who haven't heard? Are you willing to give regularly to ensure this work gets done? Are you ready to accept God's call to go across the street, the country, or the world to reach the lost for Christ? Are you committed to send and support those who have answered this call? The primary way to channel gifts to the Great Commission Fund is through our local church. On the memo portion of your check, designate how much is for the Great Commission Fund. You can make secure online contributions by going to www.cmalliance.org and selecting Give. Johnny Erickson Tata recognizes what we are about. Passion for Christ and a love for lost souls. That's the heart of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Franklin Graham has counted it a privilege to work with the Christian and Missionary Alliance around the world for many years. I commend the faithful commitment of the multitude of missionaries serving the Lord in difficult places and preaching the uncompromising gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Alliance, living the call together.
We are just one faith tribe among many, many others, but we are the Christian and Missionary Alliance. This is a dated video. We actually are in over 80 countries now. That one, I think, said 50. We're in over 80 now. We want to get the good news to the least reached. Can you imagine? How many people live in Buchanan? About 5,000? How many? So 3.8 people would know Jesus. Only 4 people in Buchanan will know Jesus. That's where we're sending missionaries, international workers to, places where it's totally unheard of, or you'd have to meet 1,000 people before you'd meet one Christian. The light has been sent here, and praise the Lord for that. Let's thank Him for that. The light is being sent out into the mission field. We have one, right? We have Buchanan. That's our mission field. It's our Jerusalem. It's our Judea. And through international students, it's our Samaria. Man, God's sending them to us. Can we get her done? I hope so. I hope so. That's what this week is all about. And every week, again, what do you want to hear from Jesus? You want to hear an attaboy or attagirl? Or what were you thinking, dude? Now that's, I don't think God talks that way. It's the way He talks to me because of who I am. He talks to you differently. But what do we want to hear from Jesus? Man, I want to hear, well done. Next thing is just some silent prayer. You know, we've had some new believers here and they said, what am I supposed to be praying? Silent prayer simply means quieting our hearts and listening to what God has to say. See, I grew up, and again, I so misinterpreted so much. Growing up in the family and church I did, you talk to God was prayer. And I'm saying at least equal amount of time should just be listening. I mean, I've heard the Lord whisper to me, I can't fit a word in edgewise. Shut up. He wouldn't say that to you. He does to me to get my attention. So, by silent prayer, I just mean we're in His presence. Let's quiet our hearts and listen to see what He might have to say. In fact, I'm going to ask Him that He impresses upon you someone in your Jerusalem, someone in your Samaria, maybe someone in Judea and the ends of the earth. Let's just listen and obey Him. Listen and follow His lead. That's all we all ever have to do. Just listen and follow. Listen and follow. You can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong. So, Father in heaven, I ask that You would send the Holy Spirit newly and freshly upon me and us. Quiet our hearts so that we can truly hear You. Jesus, You said, my sheep know my voice. They recognize my voice. They won't even listen to someone else. So please, open the eyes of our hearts. Dear Father in heaven, Jesus and Holy Spirit, I don't want to put You in a box. You can speak and reveal to each one of us anytime You want. It might be later today. It could be through a dream, a vision, tomorrow, the next day. In your perfect time, please continue to reveal to me and us those in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, and what you want of us, each one of us. By faith, I thank you in advance for how you are going to speak to us, how you're going to reveal. We might be in your word. Most of the time, you speak through your word. We might be in your word, and you just speak through your word to us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I thank you in advance for how you are going to reveal to each one of us our part and what you desire for us to be and do. I thank you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now we're going to, the worship team's going to come. We're going to sing unto the Lord. And then there's going to be the benediction. And then Stump the Chump. Stump the Chump begins today. I'll be right up here afterward, after the benediction. Anyone has a question, I'm going to ask Matt and our two sisters to go into the fellowship hall and be there and mingle for a little while. If you have questions for them or anything the Lord's laid on your heart, please talk with them, okay? Let's worship the Lord by singing unto him. Please stand together with me.